It's not easy to introduce a new smartphone into the market. Microsoft learned that the hard way when it came out with its Windows 8 phone. Now the Amazon Fire Phone is struggling a bit to break through into the market. Todd Bishop, co-founder of GeekWire, back with us on the record once again. Hello, Todd.
How's it going, Marcy?
It's great to have you here. So my question is it just hard to break into the smartphone market, or is there something wrong with this Fire Phone?
You know, we talked a little bit about the Fire Phone's interface in the past, and it does take on the realm of a gimmick at times where you're tilting the phone and doing different things. But more than that, Consumer Reports just recently came out with its official rundown on the Fire Phone, and they found that, you know, not only that, but the battery life was poor and just the user interface in general was difficult to learn.
Because one thing that they put in there, which I'm sure I would never get used to, when you want to go back a page instead of the way that we all scroll, which is a sort of across the page horizontal scroll, this is a bottom to top flick of your finger.
Exactly. And Amazon has essentially introduced a number of new tricks that you have to learn to use this phone, which doesn't help its case.
No, we're like dogs. We're going with the Pavlovian whistle. So this might be something consumers have problems with, but Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos says he's not worried. Is that just how he is, or do you really think the Fire is going to turn around?
I think it's possible if they stick with it for a number of years, if they do. Bezos's famous line is he's willing to be misunderstood for long periods of time. And I think the only question with the Fire Phone is just how long that period of time is going to be, or if it could be in perpetuity. So it's going to be a struggle for them, especially in the short run, and in particular with the AT&T exclusivity that's really limiting the market.
Well, explain that a little bit.
So the common practice for many smartphones, particularly Android devices, has been to release relatively quickly across all four major U.S. carriers and across major carriers around the world, you know, T-Mobile, Sprint, AT&T, Verizon. With the Fire Phone, Amazon released exclusively on AT&T, and so that naturally limits the market.
But the iPhone did that.
They did initially, but that has since become not the standard practice, and now you can get an iPhone on every major carrier, and that is more the tradition now.
I understand another problem for consumers is the availability of apps.
That is one struggle. There are some apps that Amazon does not have, particularly Google's apps, which are common to other users of Android devices. Now, Amazon is in a much better position there than Microsoft is, for example, because it can still leverage the vast majority of the Android app ecosystem.
So when Jeff Bezos calls you, Todd, for advice, what would you tell him to do to make this phone a success?
After I reviewed it, my thought was I wished that Amazon, and I shouldn't be so presumptuous to think that he would call, but if he did, hypothetically, I wish Amazon had innovated on the economic model and released the Fire Phone with some kind of souped-up Amazon Prime subscription and left all of the gimmicks aside, just made it a really solid, good phone that ran all the apps and made great calls.
Talking with Todd Bishop, he's co-founder of GeekWire, a regular on the record and not yet the confidant of Jeff Bezos.
Not quite yet.
Unless he's listening. On a totally different tech realm, last week, Steve Ballmer, he of the Los Angeles Lakers, resigned from the board of Microsoft.
Clippers.
No, Lakers, Clippers. He's no longer a Microsoft board member. Why not?
Steve Ballmer said between various obligations that he has, most notably becoming a new NBA owner and also taking on some classes that he's going to be teaching to university students, he just didn't have the time to do it.
Was this a big surprise to anybody?
You know, I think the timing of it was a surprise. This is just 6 months after he left Microsoft's CEO's seat, and he still is the largest individual shareholder. He took over that status from Bill Gates earlier this year because Bill Gates has been selling off his shares to fund his foundation.
So Ballmer leaves. Where does Microsoft stand?
So Microsoft has had a radical turnover on its board, and the departure of Steve Ballmer from the board is just the latest. John Thompson, the former Symantec CEO, is now the chairman, replacing Bill Gates. Bill Gates remains on the board, but he's no longer the chairman. You've had Mason Morfit, who is a activist investor with a company called Value Act Capital, very interested in getting cash back to shareholders, on the board. Just recently, you had John Stanton, the wireless veteran, who's known around these parts for lots of iconic wireless ventures that he's been involved in. He joined the board to give them some experience there. And then you've got Satya Nadella, who also joined the board. lots of turnover, lots of change. And I think they're going to be freed now with Ballmer gone to do some, possibly some more radical things.
I want to touch back about Satya Nadella in a second, but you mentioned Bill Gates, no longer the majority owner, still on the board. What exactly is he doing?
So when Gates did this, and essentially he's now the second largest individual shareholder behind Ballmer, he is taking a more active role day to day inside the company. So they decided that he would be more valuable to Satya Nadella actually in the executive suite as an advisor versus on the board as somebody overseeing there.
So back to Satya Nadella, last question about Microsoft. He hasn't been there very long. Is there any evidence that he has started to turn this giant big ship around?
He is. There is definitely evidence that he is attempting to do it. And you saw it with the job cuts that Microsoft had recently. You know, even small things like a big employee hackathon that they had that replaced their giant meeting at Safeco Field. Employees actually doing things versus listening to executives talk about what they wanted them to do. Small cultural changes, but nothing of substance in the big picture at this point. It takes a while for those things to follow through.
Todd Bishop is the co-founder of GeekWire here talking tech with me. And just the last subject, Intellectual Ventures cut its employee base 20%. Remind us who Intellectual Ventures is.
Yes.
And what they do.
So Intellectual Ventures is probably very familiar to the public radio audience. It was featured in a two-part series on This American Life, exploring the patent industry in great detail. And Intellectual Ventures buys up patents, develops its own patents, and then uses those for a variety of purposes. In some cases, it's actually started companies with those patents. In other cases, it has filed lawsuits over some of the patents that it has.
So is this not a profitable business?
Well, the big problem is a lot of the negative publicity that Intellectual Ventures has gotten. So most recently, in their attempts to raise a new round of funding, millions and millions of dollars, some of the big companies that have supported it in the past actually have not been stepping up and giving it more money.
Because that looks bad on
exactly.
Their a black mark to them. So they're not raising that money. What, aside from buying up patents, does Intellectual Ventures plan to do in the future?
Well, for now, at least, they're still operating at a smaller scale, doing what they've been doing, essentially buying patents, selling patents. And they also have spun off some companies. For example, there's a company called Chimeta that is based here in the Seattle region with Bill Gates on the board and an actual longtime wireless veteran named Vern Fotheringham running it. It is using a high-tech technique for bringing in satellite broadband. And so they're doing some interesting things. There's also a coffee flower company that takes the coffee cherry and turns it into usable flour for cooking. So the skeptics out there would say, hey, these are just high profile examples that they're throwing out there to cover up their status as a, quote, patent troll. The Intellectual Ventures people would tell you, no, we're doing good work out there for good people.
Todd Bishop is co-founder of GeekWire. He joins us regularly on The Record. It's always great to see you, Todd.
Thank you, Marcy.
This is The Record from KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman.